We'll hear argument next today in case 08-1175, Florida versus Powell. Mr. Jacquot.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. As courts have recognized, Miranda warnings protect Fifth Amendment rights and promote voluntary confessions, confessions important to seeking truth, solving crimes, and securing justice. Yet the Florida Supreme Court erred in two ways to suppress a voluntary confession relied upon for Kevin Powell's conviction. First, the Florida court misapplied the analysis. Rather than evaluating the warning under a reasonably conveyed standard for the right to an attorney, the court strictly parsed the warning, seeking certain words in a certain order. Second, the court incorrectly found the warning to be misleading. The court ignored the totality of the warning. The court overemphasized the order in which the rights were given. And furthermore, the court applied a hyper-technical analysis of the warning's language.
But you agree that suppose we accept your position and the case is remanded, the Florida Supreme Court could say, well, that's very nice, but we have a Florida Constitution with a counterpart to the Fifth Amendment, so we're just going to have the same opinion, but we're putting it under squarely under the Florida Constitution. They could do that.
Your Honor, the Florida court theoretically could, but the Florida court would have to do that on state grounds, and in this case, they relied on federal grounds to reach
it. Yeah, that's what I meant. They could do it on state grounds.
Theoretically, but this court found in Evans v. Arizona that just because of the theoretical possibility that a court could write its opinion differently on state grounds, this court still had jurisdiction because the original opinion rested on federal grounds.
Are the Supreme Court elected? Are they elected judges? Are they elected judges, the Florida Supreme Court?
Your Honor, Florida Supreme Court members are first appointed and then they are subsequently elected.
How long is their term? There's a retention election when?
Correct. There's a retention election every 4 years.
Every 4 years. And they'd have to run for their retention election on the ticket that we've expanded Miranda for Florida purposes, right?
Well, Your Honor, they are elected.
Has the Florida Supreme Court ever explicitly interpreted, what is it, Article 1, Section 8 of the Florida Constitution more expansively than, and explicitly so, and explicitly so than Miranda?
No, Your Honor. The Florida Supreme Court has said that the possibility is there, but in its decisions it is founding, particularly in the case before you.
Well, they did it in this case, didn't they? And under your view, their ruling goes beyond Miranda, and they said that the Florida Constitution requires this result.
No,
so they did do it in this very case.
No, Justice Stevens. The court specifically relied on federal law. It just got it wrong.
But it also cited the Florida Constitution, did it not?
It cited the Florida Constitution.
And did it not also say that this was a violation of the federal of the Florida Constitution?
Yes, Your Honor, it mentioned the Florida Constitution. However, in those same sentences, it interwove federal law. It would say, under the Florida Constitution and according to Miranda. And this court in Michigan v. Long has found that opinions that interweave state and federal law are appropriate for this court's jurisdiction.
One of the amici suggested that the Florida courts cannot read the Florida Constitution more expansively than the federal requirements. Are you rejecting that proposition?
No, indeed, Your Honor. The Florida court in Powell read the warning to in line with Miranda.
That's a different question. One of the amici suggests that the Florida Constitution and Florida case law says that they can't read the Florida Constitution more broadly than it is read under federal law.
Well, Your Honor, the past cases have said that the Florida court could, but they haven't. And in this case, they particularly
This could be a first if we were to start from the proposition that Justice Ginsburg did.
Well, Your Honor, under Michigan v. Long, the test is to look at the clear face of the opinion, to look for a plain statement that this case relied on adequate and independent state grounds, and that is not there.
Do you see a conflict between the language of our decisions, where we often say that Miranda rights have to be clear, and those decisions that say that whatever is said has to reasonably convey the essence of the Miranda warnings? Is there a difference between those two statements, and which of our cases or statements would control?
Your Honor, in Miranda, the court did use the terms clearly informed. However, this court has gone on, and Prysock used the term adequately informed, and Duckworth used the word reasonably convey. So yes, although the rights are consistent from Miranda on.
So you would suggest that if something's not clear and it's ambiguous, that that's enough? Or is there a difference between reasonable and clarity that has to be read in a certain way? Otherwise, an ambiguous warning.
No, Your Honor, I would say that this court has said that clarity is judged by whether the warnings reasonably convey the rights under Miranda. That's the standard.
Did Miranda itself, I mean, it set out the four requirements, but there was a charge, I mean, there was a warning involved. Am I not right? Well, didn't they cite the then FBI warning? It's been improved considerably, but there was an FBI warning cited in Miranda itself, was there not?
Yes, Justice Ginsburg, and that warning conveyed only the right to attorney. It did not have the specific...
It also said you have a right to keep silent.
Correct, but on the right to attorney warning at issue here, it said only that a suspect has the ability to consult counsel. It did not go into the specific detail, the explicit nature of spelling out the terms present, the terms during, that the Florida Supreme Court required. And that's the real issue here before the court, is whether the Florida Supreme Court applied a standard that is significantly different than the standard that this court has required.
Well, it told him you're entitled to confer with counsel before answering questions, right?
What warning? Justice,
wasn't that the warning given in this case? You're entitled to consult counsel before answering questions.
Yes, the warning in this case said you have the right to talk to a lawyer before answering any of our questions.
Now, and furthermore, just to make sure that you've said two different things, it says any of our questions, right?
Well, Mr. Chief Justice, the warning said you have the right to talk to a lawyer before answering any of our questions, right. And then the warning went on to say you have the right to use this right at any time during this interview. We would argue that this expresses all the rights required under Miranda.
What about the right in Miranda that says, in Miranda, we hold an individual held for interrogation must be clearly informed that he has the right to consult with the lawyer and to have the lawyer with him during interrogation. Okay? Where does it say that? To interpret any way you want. You know, we're used to grand juries. In a grand jury, he can go consult with the lawyer, but he doesn't have the lawyer with him. So where does it tell him that?
Well, Your Honor, the standard being reasonably conveyed,
yep.
The warning lays out that you have the right.
I'm just asking you to point to the words that tell him that.
The right to talk to a lawyer.
Don't you have a right to talk to a lawyer at a grand jury?
But, Your Honor, a grand jury operates very differently.
Yes, correct. And so, aren't you supposed to tell this person that, unlike a grand jury, you have a right to have the lawyer with you during interrogation? I mean, it isn't as if that was said in passing in Miranda. They wrote eight paragraphs about it. And I just wonder, where does it say in this warning you have the right to have the lawyer with you during the interrogation?
Well, Justice Breyer, I would have three responses to that. First, under Miranda, the FBI warning did not use the terms present, did not use the terms with you. And
it doesn't use the word present. Miranda, it says right here, we hold, this is, oh, but not just prior to questioning, but also to have counsel present during any questioning. That's what Miranda says. And then Miranda, after discussing it for five pages, goes on to use the words I just said. You have to tell him he has the right to have counsel with him. So it does use the word present.
It used it in determining, in stating the obligation of the state, but it didn't use those words in setting out the warning that the FBI then gave.
Correct.
It said, this is what the state, this is what your obligation is. What you must say to the defendant is, and I think the Florida court is the same way. It said, you're entitled to the help of a lawyer. Then it spelled it out in that opinion, but what it said had to be communicated was not the full range. Just you're entitled, I think, was to the help of a lawyer. So there's a confusion, I think, between what Miranda spells out and many other cases spell out as the state's obligation, what the state must do, and the statement that must be made to the defendant to communicate that.
Justice Ginsburg, let me be very clear and answer Justice Breyer with the three points I began. Miranda requires that law enforcement effectively communicate the fact that you can access your right to an attorney present and during an interrogation. However, in the Miranda opinion, they approvingly cited the FBI warning that only had the terms, the generalized warning, consult with counsel. Furthermore, the ability to talk to your lawyer, which is at issue in this warning, is the first natural step to getting your attorney. And third, as this court has held in Minnick, that it's the representation that matters in custodial interrogation.
Well, what FBI are we talking about? Because the FBI advice of right says you have the right to have a lawyer with you during questioning. Were they? And I was taken by the fact we hold that an individual must be clearly informed. And so is there some other case that says, or some other FBI statement that they give people that doesn't use the word with you, that says you don't have to say with you during, or doesn't have to say present during? Was there some other case that said that?
Sure. Your Honor, the current FBI warning does have that. However, there have been several cases in the circuits that have held generalized warnings to be sufficient, warnings that say only the right to an attorney. And one of the issues
The warning that Justice Breyer has just referred to, that's long after Miranda itself, and it was not the warning that the FBI gave at the time of Miranda.
Correct, Your Honor. And that is the issue, is what is first the standard that courts must currently apply in terms of whether a warning reasonably conveys? That is not the standard of analysis that the Florida court applied. And secondly, when evaluating that warning, the Florida court incorrectly find that this warning was misleading.
I have a difficulty in terms of this argument about burdening law enforcement. This is a preprinted form that the police made up, correct?
Correct.
So what's the added burden by making the form absolutely and abundantly clear, or conforming the form to the statements in Miranda? What's the cost to the state? They're going to print the form anyway. They're telling their officers to read from the form anyway. What's the added cost?
Sure, Your Honor, there are three reasons why the Florida Supreme Court's explicit standard is problematic. First, the same standard applies to written warnings as to verbal warnings. So you have situations where you have a law enforcement officer who doesn't have his card in the field, there's a verbal error, there's an inconsistency in translations. If a suspect is asking questions, trying to get clarity, the law enforcement officer is going outside of the car to provide that clarity. Those are situations that may not meet the explicit express advice standard
of
the court.
Well, there is a question about how much the subjective intent of the questioner should be involved in this process or not. There are cases where it appears the plurality of our court has said it should always be an objective standard, and others where certain members have expressed a question about subjective. But if we're dealing with a printed form, why wouldn't the intent of the entity at issue be placed in question? Meaning, you could have, the police here could have chosen to be explicit, but instead they chose to obfuscate a little bit and be less explicit. Shouldn't we assume that that's an intent to deceive or perhaps to confuse?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. the Tampa police, in having this warning drafted, it's attempting to reasonably convey the warning, and there's good public policy reasons why.
The easy solution is to do what 90% of the jurisdictions are doing, copy Miranda.
Well, Your Honor, we would claim that this warning falls within the 97% cited by amici because it has the word during in the warning. The Florida court ignored the totality of the warning. It chose to place the order of the warning's rights in a way that this court in Prysock and Duckworth has found is not the proper analysis. Furthermore, this court used a hyper-technical approach. It took the words before answering any of our questions, turned that into an exclusive statement to say only before questioning, and then as a result of that, attempted to discount the last sentence of the warning. That's the kind of parsing, that's the kind of precise formulation, that's the kind of construing warnings like a will or defining terms like an easement that this court has rejected.
What about the danger that Tampa, if you should prevail, will go back to the old way? Now it has a clearer form. Whether this form is adequate is one thing, but now it has the form that the, like the one the FBI currently uses. If you prevail, then Tampa can go back to what it had before.
Your Honor, you are correct in that Tampa has a new form now that does have the words present and during in a different formulation. However, there's no indication that they would go back to the other form for several reasons. One, law enforcement has an incentive to have Miranda rights properly given because they desire there to be confessions and for those confessions.
Once we say this is properly given, my goodness, here's an instruction approved specifically by this court. I mean, I think they should use that, don't you? I mean, the other one they're going to have to guess about, but this one is approved in a case involving Florida by this court. So it's pretty attractive to use that one.
Well, Your Honor, law enforcement agencies will look to courts for approval of this, of their warnings. The warning,
well, you have to say it's okay. You're arguing that it's perfectly okay. So why do you hesitate? When you're asked, could the state go back to doing it? You should say, yes, of course they might. We don't think it's likely, but they might. And if they did, it's perfectly okay. Isn't that your position?
Well, Justice Scalia, as a—
That's not your position.
Justice Scalia, they theoretically could because the warning was reasonably conveyed. It was sufficient. However, it's unlikely they would. Law enforcement agencies modify their warnings when they become issue. So when litigation begins on warnings,
let me ask you one general question. Isn't it the case that this particular warning is used in one judicial district and the warning that was approved in Traylor was used in the rest of the state? And so there is an interest. The Florida Supreme Court has, in effect, required the same warning throughout the state. And if you prevail, there may be one standard warning in one judicial district, and the other districts may continue to use the one they've used in the past. Isn't that right?
Well, Justice Stevens, it is not true that every jurisdiction in Florida uses the same warning. There are varieties of warnings.
That's true. But if they all followed the Florida Supreme Court in this case, then they all would use the same warning.
Well, Justice Stevens, if they were all following the Florida Supreme Court here, they would have to explicitly state certain terms in their warning.
Which most of them do already.
Well, not necessarily. Some do, some do not. And one of the fears in having an express advice standard is that you will have continuing terms that are required. For instance, the term before is lacking in 30 of 90 jurisdictions in Florida. There's nothing to stop the Florida Supreme Court if this court was to allow an express advice standard for then requiring the term before questioning in addition. That's the kind of danger in having an analysis that is much stricter, that essentially looks at words that should be in a warning rather than looking at whether the right to attorney is reasonably conveyed to the suspect. Mr. Chief Justice, if there are no more questions, I'd like to save the balance of my time.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. I'd like to go directly to Justice Ginsburg's question about what would happen if this Court affirmed the warnings in this case. And I think respondents amici make the argument that it will somehow promote a race to the bottom. And I think that history and experience are the best answer to that question. Respondents amici who have carefully studied this issue have found that some police officers have attempted to evade Miranda by interrogation techniques, but there is no indication that police have tried to accomplish that purpose by changing the language of the warnings. And that is not because they couldn't do so. For the last 20 years, Duckworth and Prysock have been on the books and have made clear that no standard formulation of the warnings is necessary and that variant warnings will be upheld. And if it were
except
true,
that Justice Scalia just pointed out, if we approve the language of this, then of this particular warning, it becomes the new sort of floor. And if we make it the new floor, doesn't it provide an incentive for police departments to move away from the explicit warnings that say during and before and during interrogations? Now we're saying, you know, generalize them more.
Well, Justice,
aren't we encouraging that?
Justice Sotomayor, I have two responses to that. The first is that this Court upheld the warning in Duckworth, which said we have no way of providing you an attorney, but one will be provided if and when you go to court. Now, if it were true that police are looking for every way to get around the warnings, and if changing the warnings were an effective way to do that, we should have seen every jurisdiction adopt those warnings. In fact, of the 900 warnings that are included in the survey that respondent relies heavily on, only five have that formulation. Second, four circuit courts have
how many after Duckworth? Do you know?
I don't. It doesn't indicate when they were adopted, but I think it's fair to say that if police did have that incentive, that we would have seen at least some jurisdictions adopt that warning.
We don't know how.
But your case has to be that if we adopt the petitioner's petition, it's perfectly fine for every jurisdiction in the country to use this warning, right?
We agree that this warning is adequate, and our position.
Every jurisdiction in the country can use it, so we can talk about whether or not it's adequate.
They can, we think that's unlikely. And if the concern here is that it will destroy the uniformity that the federal government thinks is a good thing as a matter of policy, we think that that concern is simply not warranted. But yes, we do agree that these warnings adequately convey
Excuse me, you think lack of uniformity is a good idea?
No, we think that affirming these warnings will not disrupt the uniformity that seems to be in place around the country. And for exactly the reason that I said, Justice Kennedy, because Justice Sotomayor mentioned general right to counsel warnings, that if we upheld a general right to counsel warning, that jurisdictions would begin to drop the more specific language that's contained, for example, in the FBI forms.
Where is that? Is that set forth in the briefs, the FBI form? Where is that set forth?
I don't believe the FBI form is set out in full. It's on pages 383 and 384 of Miranda, and the description of the Court's discussion is on page 29 of our brief. And I think, Justice Sotomayor, it's significant that four circuit courts have upheld general right to counsel warnings of the kind that were in the FBI warnings in 1966. But the police departments in those jurisdictions have not abandoned the more specific language that's contained in the FBI formulation. In New York City, the Second Circuit has held in Lamia.
How do we deal with the fact that if the purpose of Miranda is to give clear warnings, and your adversary says, not your adversary, your co-counsel, petitioner's counsel says, that means, clear means, does it reasonably convey? We've got a split of circuit courts and state courts on whether this reasonably conveys or not. Shouldn't that be enough of an ambiguity for us to conclude it can't reasonably convey if there's this many courts holding that it doesn't?
No, Justice Sotomayor, this is not like a qualified immunity inquiry where grounds for debate among reasonable jurists would invalidate the warning.
Well, are you calling the Florida State Supreme Court majority unreasonable jurist?
No, I think the problem with a standard that permits of no ambiguity is that, as Florida just said, this standard will apply not just to printed forms, and it is easy enough to create a printed form in advance that includes more specific language, but it will also apply to inadvertent departures from the standard forms as a result of mistake.
What happens now is that we're dealing with the exception rather than the rule, but this was the rule, meaning this was the form that they were reading. And if it has some significant ambiguity in it, sufficient for at least one court to say it wasn't sufficiently clear, it wasn't explicit enough. Should we worry about the exception as an exception?
Well, I think the exception needs to be captured within the rule that this court adopts as the standard. I also think that it's simply not the case that if this court, as I said, adopts a standard that permits a less explicit, less precise warning than the FBI ones.
Mr. O'Neill, isn't one of the problems here that Florida had two different printed forms before this case arose, and that Florida Supreme Court has said they'll all have the same one hereafter?
Justice Stevens, I'm not aware that Florida had two printed forms. I mean, each jurisdiction used its own form, and this was the form that was in place.
At least two, then.
Well, every jurisdiction adopts slightly
different. Isn't it wiser generally to have the same form used throughout the state?
It is. The government believes it is wiser to do that, and the federal law enforcement agencies do that because it avoids.
And the Constitution requires it, right?
Well, no, the Constitution does not require the precise words.
Well, Miranda supposedly says the Constitution requires this warning, and if the warning must be in a standard form that everybody uses, the Constitution must require a standard form that everybody uses.
Nowhere in Miranda does it say that a standard form is necessary, and this Court summarily rejected exactly.
Mr. But can you just devote 1 minute before you finish to the question of why these are adequate? If you remember my question, I tried to explain why I thought they might not be adequate.
Justice Breyer, these warnings state three rights, the right.
But there were four. One is to have during, in the presence of, the right to have a lawyer during the interrogation, in the presence of, with him at the time.
Absolutely.
Now, that's one of the four, that's one of the things they devote two pages to Miranda, and they repeat it when they summarize what you have to say. I just want to know, where in this statement does it say that?
Justice Breyer, there is no reason to think that a suspect who hears that he can talk to an attorney before answering any questions and during this interview would infer the unstated restriction that he can talk to an attorney but only by phone. Or
really? I guess anybody who's had prior experience with the law, as this man might have done, might be familiar with a grand jury proceeding.
But for the same reason we don't ask whether the suspect has sufficient knowledge to supplement
No. But I tell you, yours your right to talk to a lawyer before questioning.
Well, it does.
Now, you then repeat, you can assert that right whenever you want to talk to him before questioning.
Well,
and my question is, how does that tell him he has a right to have a lawyer with him during questioning, that the questioning he has a right to have take place from beginning to end? In the presence of a lawyer, a matter that the Miranda Court repeated three times in the summary and wrote eight full paragraphs about why that was important.
Well, first, as Justice Ginsburg noted, Miranda went out of its way to specifically approve an FBI warning that said, quote,
where does it say it approves that?
It said this pattern of warnings is consistent with the decision that we announced today. And I think
it wasn't,
have been clear.
It isn't consistent with it. That's interesting.
Well, that argument was made by Justice Clark in dissent, and the court did not agree with that. And I think it is clear that the court thought that
they didn't say anything about during.
Well, no,
then they needn't mention during at all, because if that's right, the FBI warning at that time, J. Edgar Hoover's letter or whatever it was, just talked about telling you have a right to counsel. Doesn't say anything about during.
Well, I think that's exactly the point, that you don't assume that a suspect is only capable of understanding.
So then you think that, in fact, going by that warning, that there is no constitutional right to have them say a word about during. This would be okay if they said nothing at all about it.
I think that a advice of the right to counsel, or as the court put it, in a different place in the Miranda opinion, the right to obtain the services of an attorney of his choice, that would be constitutionally adequate. The federal government does not use those warnings because they create a risk of litigation. We think that's the correct reading of Miranda, but that, of course, is not a guarantee that other courts would read it that way. And indeed, 2 years after Miranda, the Fifth Circuit had gone the other way and decided that, in fact, a right to counsel warning is not sufficient. But Justice Breyer, I think that the answer to how these warnings convey presence is that a suspect is not going to draw the highly counterintuitive assumption that if he's told that he can have an attorney, not only before answering any questions, but during this interview, that he's going to need to walk in and out of the room each time he wants to talk to an attorney. It may
so I get the bottom line. If all this warning had said was you have a right to talk to a lawyer before questioning.
I'm sorry?
You have a right to talk to a lawyer before questioning.
Well, we
it
think
would be
that
your position that standing alone, that would be enough.
We think that was the warning that this court confronted in Bridgers, and we think that would be a much closer and more difficult case, but we think that, yes, we agree with the decision cited in our brief that a suspect would not assume that that attorney will become unavailable the minute the first question is asked. We think.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Ms. Bruckheimer.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Clearly, Miranda could not have been more specific when it said, an individual held for interrogation must be clearly informed that he has the right to consult with a lawyer and to have the lawyer with him during interrogation.
So the FBI warning that was specifically approved in Miranda was inconsistent with Miranda.
I disagree with that representation that it was approved of.
It
what
says
this court
consistent,
said,
consistent with the procedure which we delineate today.
Consistent with, but not the same. In the few pages beforehand, the court specifically set forth its Miranda warnings and what it required, including.
Could you tell us where that is? I think you mean page 479, but I'm not
right,
sure.
Right, correct. At 479, this court set forth the warnings that it wants to have read to every.
It set forth the substance of what had to be conveyed, but it
right.
set forth on page 484 its belief that the FBI warning adequately conveyed that substance. It said this warning is consistent with our opinion today. And that warning said,
yes, I have the warning, yeah.
You want to read it?
Yes, I can read it.
Good.
The warning said that, let's see, at the outset of the interview that he is not required to make a statement, that any statement may be used against him in court, and that the individual may obtain the services of an attorney of his own choice, and more recently, that he has the right to free counsel. However,
well,
the
I mean,
purpose,
that's so much worse than
yes, and the purpose of saying this was because the question was, is this going to be burdensome to the government, to the police, to issue these warnings? And the very beginning of that sentence, right before they said it, was that the FBI
what
has
What page are you on now?
We're still on 483. We're in the sentence right above
stuff
it.
That I read.
Over the years, the FBI has compiled an exemplary record of effective law enforcement while advising any suspect or arrested person at the outset of the interview that he's not required to make a statement, and that I just read it. So the question, that was to counteract whether it was too burdensome. Not that
well,
they
maybe,
were approving.
But it says the FBI, the pattern of warning, well, let me make sure I get it exact. The present pattern of warnings and respect for the rights of the individual followed as a practice by the FBI is consistent with the procedure we delineate today. And the FBI warning says nothing about presence or with count or with the
consistent with, but not identical.
Well, okay, I'll take consistent with. That means that it complies with the rule in Miranda.
No, in all due respect, Mr. Chief Justice, I believe that this court went a little further and required the presence of counsel, and then.
And how is the FBI warning consistent with the procedure the court delineated in Miranda?
It doesn't say that the attorney has to be present with.
No, I said how is it.
How is it consistent?
Yes.
Because it gave three of the basic. You know, you have the right to remain silent, you have the right to an attorney, the services of an attorney, and that you have the right to, or any statement you make will be used against you. So they just didn't go far enough in the FBI warnings.
So I would say that it's not consistent with Miranda.
It's consistent to a point. But they had added in, more recently, the right to free counsel.
Well, when you're looking at whether it would be an undue burden on law enforcement, it has a burden that's consistent with the ones that Miranda required explicitly. I say when you were inquiring, as you were at that part of the opinion, into how burdensome it would be on law enforcement to give these warnings,
right.
You're saying the burden would be consistent under the new warnings with those previously given by the FBI.
Correct. It's not any more burdensome by adding in an additional requirement.
What it says is that the respect for the rights of the individual followed in the FBI is consistent with.
Mm-hmm. The rights of the individual, right. And where the Miranda court just made sure that they've added in the additional requirement, and the FBI did change their warnings and has continued to modify and change their warnings or to be consistent with Miranda.
Bottom line, in my mind, the question is whether these warnings are substantively or otherwise different than the FBI warnings that some believe were approved in Miranda. Are these equivalent?
I believe that that requiring the presence of counsel during the interrogation goes a lot further, and it is not equivalent.
I don't disagree with you, but that wasn't my question. My question was that the FBI warning at issue or reviewed
at issue in Miranda?
Not at issue because it wasn't that issue, but that was reviewed and approved in Miranda. Did it give that?
No, it did not, and that's why I don't believe the court in Miranda ever said it's consistent with, but they never said we approve. They never said we're adopting that language.
Is there, since then, I mean, as I read it now, I see that, as I said, it seems very clear that they intend you to have to say that the counsel has to write, you have, is present with you, present, okay? Now, the FBI warnings, which they did say is consistent, don't say that.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Okay. They do not.
Now, since the time of Miranda, has this court ever talked about that? Has there been any lower court, or have there been has the practice of the departments to any great extent been such that they stopped talking or did not talk or never spoke about a right to have a counsel with you during just dropped out? They didn't say forget about during. It wasn't.
No, the case law has always referred to both by this court and then the circuit courts. And
this court has referred to during?
Yeah.
As in many opinions, it talked about before interrogation and during interrogation, the right to have counsel.
I must say, this is angels dancing on the head of a pin. You want us to believe that your client, who decided to talk, even though he was told he could consult an attorney before any question was asked, and he could consult an attorney at any time during the interview, and he went ahead and confessed. You're saying, if I knew that I could have an attorney present during the interview, well, that would have been a different kettle of fish, and I would never have confessed. I mean, doesn't that seem to you quite fantastic?
No, Your Honor, especially not with a reasonable suspect that's being questioned. We're not talking about reasonable lawyers or reasonable justices.
How about the reasonable defendant in this very case? Powell's lawyer questioned him and asked him, "You waived the right to have an attorney present during your questioning by the detectives." Answer, yes. This is at appendix page 80. So apparently, counsel understood the warning to have conveyed the right to have an attorney present during questioning by the detectives. Counsel understood that?
No. And she counsel had never asked him, did you knowingly waive? Did you intelligently waive? She was trying to set up the fact that the client had waived his rights before he made a statement in order to get to his argument that his statements were coerced, but she was never giving up the argument that she had made previously to that testimony that the waiver was knowing and intelligent. She just had already lost that argument in front of the judge, and now she was.
So she was asking her client a legal question. You waived the right to have an attorney present during your questioning by detectives. Is that what you're telling the jury?
Yeah, well, he did waive his rights, but he didn't knowingly and intelligently waive his rights, and he did sign the form, because that was the next question. Did you sign the form?
Do you think that the average person hearing this warning would envision the sort of procedure that occurs before a grand jury? That's what it would be taken to mean?
I don't think most people have been in front of a grand jury, so I don't envision that they would have that kind of reaction. I think they would focus on the before.
Do you think that a suspect would think, now, I'm in this custodial room, and they want me to stay put, that they're going to have me hopping in and out of the room to talk to my lawyer? Wouldn't the assumption be, I'm stuck in this room, they're holding me here, and if I have a right to talk to a lawyer, it's got to be there and not my walking in and out of the
holding room. Right, but they never told him that he'd have the ability to talk to a lawyer during the interview.
Is there any, I'm not sure this is pertinent, but is there any malevolent reason Tampa police would adopt this warning? I mean, someone says, well, here's what the FBI uses, and they say, well, I'll tell you what, if we just say you have a right to an attorney before answering any questions, and then later say you can exercise this right any time, maybe we'll be able to trick some people who don't think they can actually have the lawyer there. In other words, was this just...
It's hard for us to be able to delve into the minds of the Tampa Police Department and the people who create these forms. However, in the Thompson case, which is before you in the briefs, in 1984, they had it right. They said you have the right to talk to an attorney beforehand and to the presence of an attorney during the interrogation. This was in a death case, and there was something wrong with the right to free counsel. They either didn't, you know, give it to them or not. So why they went and changed the part to the right to an attorney before counsel, before the questioning and then during questioning, we don't know.
So, but you can't think of any bad reason they might have done.
Well, Professor Leo could, and there is a memo he attaches at the end of his appendix in the amicus brief, but I would just say that it doesn't really matter what the motives are, and that it all depends on how the defendant or the person in custody is perceiving these warnings and whether he's getting the information he or she needs.
What do you do with the court's decisions in Prysock and Duckworth that dealt with the right to appointed counsel? And the suspect was not explicitly told that he had a right to appointed counsel at the pre-arraignment stage. It said something about court would give you.
Right. Oh, the language in those cases had something to do with, you know, the idea being that it was almost informational, too much information, additional information as to when you're going to get your counsel. But the four core...
It wouldn't have to have any additional information. You just tell them. You have a right to have a counsel now. That would be fewer words.
Well, in Prysock it was a matter of the order, but in Duckworth it was, we can't get one for you at this moment kind of thing. And no state is obligated or agency to provide counsel on demand.
Didn't one of them say court and the suspect was not in court at the time?
Was not in court?
Yes, and that the court will appoint counsel for you.
Right, and that would be sometime in the future. But they did tell them that if you're going to be questioned, you have the right to counsel with you at that time, and that was the important thing. Even if we had to wait, they couldn't question him until he had his attorney with him.
If this warning is read the way lawyers might read a statute or a contract or something like that, then I don't know why saying you have the right to remain silent isn't potentially misleading. It says you have the right to remain silent, but once you break your silence, there's nothing in there that says that you have the right to resume your silence.
No.
Would you agree
except
with
that? Except for that catch-all phrase that they used at the bottom, which is you have the right to use any of these at any time.
You think that's defective too?
Well, I think that it's probably okay as far as reinforcing the right to remain silent and informing him that any of your answers can be used against you. But I don't think it salvages a right that's not there, which is the right to presence during interrogation.
So once you break you have the right to remain silent, but once you break that right, the fact that you have the right to use that right to remain silent in the future doesn't mean you can stop answering questions.
Well, the catch-all phrase might inform them that they could stop, but clearly if they had the right to presence of counsel with them, that right
we could write that down. It could be the next case.
Right. Yes. And I also contest the language that the opposing counsel uses that says that we've somehow locked in everybody with what the decision below said. The decision below held that, and I quote at 541, we hold that Powell should have been clearly informed of his right to the presence of counsel during the custodial interrogation. It's not magic language. It's not so written in stone that it's not explicit language. This language follows what this court has said. The reasonable language, the clearly informed language, it isn't locking everyone into these exact words down the line. And there are hundreds of ways that this could be said. So, and then the court noted that the catch-all phrase did not effectively convey to Mr. Powell his rights to presence before and during, and that the last sentence could not effectively convey a right that he was never told he had. As far as whether or not this case should even be here, even though the Florida Constitution and the Florida court has gone along the same road, traveled a parallel road with this court, and it hasn't seen a need to deviate, they may see a need to deviate here, should this court disagree.
They are free to do that. I mean, politically, they might consider it risky, but if we say that the charge was good enough, the Florida court could say, but it's not good enough under our Constitution.
Correct, and I believe they would.
Well, I'm not sure that's the case. The remand in Long was only to address another issue. The Long court took its determination as being binding on the issue. It was before the court in Long.
Well,
in that case,
the Florida Supreme Court must have referred to its constitutional provision, Article 1, Section 9, at least five times.
And in each time it said that it's by extension from Miranda. It always linked it, and that was the question that was presented in the state court.
Right. And
that it certified.
It's almost like Miranda's being used as a generic concept for warnings. You know, we're complying with Miranda.
That's the whole reason we have jurisdiction, so that Miranda will not be confused, and so that it won't be a hazard on the landscape when people say Miranda and they mean something else.
Right, but
and it's not at all clear that the Florida Supreme Court could, in this case, go back to the Constitution. You can't get that out of law.
You can't go lower than the federal Constitution, but they can give more rights.
It's maybe in some other case, not necessarily in this one, because Long reads to the contrary.
Well, in Traylor, which is the court the case that the Florida Supreme Court in the decision below relied heavily upon, they said that we are the ceiling and the court is the bottom. But
you have no case in which the Florida Supreme Court has explicitly said that we have a warning that is more strict, more rigorous than what Miranda requires. You have no case.
And they didn't feel like they had to deviate because they felt like their definition of presence of counsel, which was the right to consult with an attorney before and the right to have counsel present during the interrogation, was consistent with the holdings in Miranda. So they didn't feel the need to deviate, but they did say that is our definition as we set forth in Traylor.
I'm curious, when this goes back to them, do you think they can deviate? They were answering a certified question, which was simply whether this warning complied with Miranda. That was the only certified question. So when it goes back, I assume they, having said no, will now have to say yes. Can they go on and say, oh, and by the way, even though it doesn't comply with Miranda, we think it violates the state constitution?
I believe they can, because as long as they're not going below what this court mandates, well, but that, if they find more protections.
But that wasn't the question asked of them. The only question asked of them was whether it complied with Miranda.
Well, and, really and they
not, that's not really not quite accurate, because they use the term Miranda warnings generically. It refers
generically,
to a category of warnings which are required by both the federal constitution and the state constitution, and they said it violated the state constitution.
Yes, they did, and they did say we have our standard under Traylor, that we defined the right to the presence of counsel or to the help of counsel as requiring presence during,
well, as except well. The words that it quoted from the lower court opinion, that said it, we're talking about the Fifth Amendment and by extension Article 1, Section 9. So
right.
That seems to me to indicate that it's incorporating it.
Well,
going further.
If
that's they, not in the question that they, no. they took.
No, that's not in the question, but there is a way to, you know, they repeated all along the way, Article 1, Section 9, they kept repeating it. They didn't have to. If they were just going to say, oh, by the way, our Constitution goes along with this, they could have said it in passing. They could have also said that we choose not to interpret it.
I think the opposite. I think the repeated linkage shows that they think they're the same.
Well, and again, I would say that they agree that we're traveling along the same road, but they're stressing the fact that they have set a line in the sand as far as what they're interpreting the right to presence.
Well, the question asked, does the failure to provide express advice of the right to the presence of counsel during questioning vitiate Miranda warnings? Okay, that's the question. They have a footnote after Miranda, which reads, Miranda versus Arizona, 384 U.S. 436. I take that to mean that the question is whether this warning violate Miranda.
And, of course, if they did violate the baseline, the minimum standard set forth in Miranda,
right,
then it would be unconstitutional.
Absolutely.
So, which is why Traylor and the Florida Constitution kept making, because they didn't have to really get to what the bottom or the baseline or the minimum standard was, as long as Florida had set forth its standard.
That's true, but if they felt the authority to go beyond Miranda, wouldn't they have had to say no to this question, if we find that way, and then go on to say, but it does violate our own, and that's beyond the question that was certified to them.
And I believe the idea that they didn't think it was deviating from the Miranda case.
Right.
But if this court finds that it does, then they will probably, and I feel confident that they would fall back on the Constitution, of the Florida Constitution.
But they did say over and over again, one was the certified question, another was the issue before the court is whether the failure to provide express advice of the rights to the presence of counsel during custodial interrogation violates the principles espoused in Miranda with a citation. I mean, they said many, many times that the question was, what did Miranda mean was the issue, not what did Florida's extension of Miranda.
Well, they do have a section in looking at you know, other circuit courts in the federal system and all what our Florida courts are doing, and which is when they get into the concept of, well, they start out talking about Traylor and our Constitution at the beginning, and they repeat it at the end because they believe it is consistent with, they believe it is following along, but they never say that that our Constitution isn't insignificant or that it's not important. If they did, they wouldn't have felt the need to cite Traylor.
I think you would have had a much weightier argument if it hadn't been for Michigan v. Long, if you could have said
it would have been nice.
I mean, we could have been remanded to ask the Florida Supreme Court, was it independently ruling under its constitution?
I will keep that in mind. the idea of clear or reasonably clear, whichever the standard is, Justice Sotomayor, I believe the Florida Supreme Court used the correct standard and used the one by saying that it was clear, you know, whether or not Mr. Powell was clearly informed. So no matter which standard you use, it, as far as functional equivalent or whatever, I believe that this falls within the four corners of that. The obligation, let's see, I'm looking to see what other cases, general cases. The opposition cites to the fact that there's this great conflict going on among the circuits. I don't believe that such a conflict is, whatever those cases were deciding, I don't believe they would have approved of this language. This language, because of the before limiting language and excluding the presence during language, became misleading. And the general cases that, like just the plain language, you have the right to the presence of counsel, they're not inconsistent with what Florida has required. They would not disagree.
You said that the average person wouldn't take this warning to mean, wouldn't envision a procedure like the grand jury procedure. What does it mislead the average person to think?
That once questioning starts, that he has no right to consult with a lawyer anymore. And it certainly doesn't tell him that he has the right to the presence of an attorney with him in an interrogation room where the coercion takes on a highly new meaning. I mean, the coercive practices that are
well, the latter part of that is the grand jury question. You have a right to consult an attorney, but you don't have the right to have an attorney present.
Any of the normal reasonable suspects or would probably be even aware of what the grand jury proceeding
okay,
would
so
be.
Then your argument is that this that what a normal an average person would take this to mean is that you can talk to an attorney before starting to answer questions, but not once the questioning begins. That's what you take it to mean.
Correct. And I'm not the only one. There were five Supreme Court justices, a majority on the second majority of the second district judges in Powell, and seven judges on the second district level who all found that to be the case. And we're talking someone who doesn't have that level of intelligence. And he may have had a prior record. He did have a prior record. But that
all of those people are lawyers, and lawyers are known to read legal documents very precisely. The average person may read them very differently.
Correct. And
sometimes
in this case,
a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yes. And I do believe that if this court were to reverse, that would set a new floor for these forms, and that there would be the danger of the fact that, I mean, if the Tampa Public Police Department is always changing its forms, which they've shown to be the case, they have changed these forms in the past, why wouldn't other agencies decide to change their forms and make things more
You think it's a good thing, though, that they change their forms to track the FBI form after the litigation started?
Yes. I do believe that when they change the form to comply with the decision below and with what's going on in 97% or 96% of the jurisdictions, doesn't have to be exact language, it just has to be there, then the system runs beautifully. I can't tell you the last time I had a Miranda warning case, and I've been doing this for almost 30 years. There is no litigation when it's done correctly, and it's mostly done correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel, you have a minute remaining.
Mr. Chief Justice, if I may make three brief points after responding to a question that Justice Stevens asked. In terms of independent and adequate state grounds, in our brief, we relied on the Florida court citing Miranda the case, not Miranda as the phraseology. The Florida Supreme Court interwove federal law based on Miranda the case itself, and there is no plain statement to the otherwise. Three quick points. There is no manipulation behind this warning. This warning is a result of litigation in Thompson v. State. That was a 1991 decision by the Florida Supreme Court. The Tampa police had changed its warning. The previous warning had 148 words. This warning is simpler with 79 words. The previous warning had arcane and redundant language. this language is more straightforward. Those are the reasons behind the change in the warning, not any kind of inference as Amici makes towards manipulation. Second, what respondent is asking for is exactly what this court chose not to do in Prysock. It told the
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.